You are listening to Fierce Feminine Leadership, episode number 266 with Daily Harvest founder Rachel Drury on the art of the $43 million deal.
Welcome to Fierce Feminine Leadership, the success podcast for women in business. Each week, we feature interviews and advice to help you step into your power and lead your way. Now, here's your host, women's leadership expert, Eleanor Beaton.
Hello there, fierce ones. Eleanor Beaton here, and welcome back to another episode of Fierce Feminine Leadership, the success podcast for ambitious women in business. And speaking of, we have a very fierce and ambitious woman in business on our show today. That's none other than Daily Harvest founder Rachel Drury. This is a woman who founded a frozen meal subscription service. She landed $43 million in second round funding last year. This was the biggest second round funding deal done by a woman in 2017, which is very exciting. And I'm not sure if you have this experience. Sometimes you'll meet somebody new and then you know they're impressive, and then you start to kind of hear more and more of their story and you start doing the math and you're like, okay, basically this doesn't add up. You have got to be a superhuman because I'm not seeing how we both have the same number of hours in the day and you're getting all this done. Well, Rachel Drury is kind of like that, although I know that when she hears this, she's going to be like, what? Because she actually addresses that direct in the interview. It's a really powerful part that I want you to listen up for, because what I didn't mention is that while she's building this company of natural smoothies, she's also having two children. So yes, she's got two kids under three, and this happens while she's building this wildly successful startup. And she really addresses head on how she actually does that, how she makes it work, and the sacrifices and choices that she's made to ensure that it works. So it's a really great part of the interview, and I was so thankful for her for bringing it up, because I think for those of you who are out there walking that path as well, putting yourself heart and soul into building a powerful business or career, and you're trying to make it work with family and so on, I think knowing that there are other women out there who are making the same tough choices, who are, you know, really working hard to make things happen, knowing that they're out there, I think is really important for all of us to help us kind of normalize that ambition. We're going to get into the interview with Rachel Drury here in just a moment. Before I get there, I want to let you know we still have some spots available for the Leadership Lab. Of course, this is our signature 8-week leadership development program for women. We focus on power, presence, and position, really helping you to step into your power, to position yourself effectively in the marketplace, both as a woman who's working inside an organization or someone who has a startup and you're looking to grow it and really position yourself well as a leader inside your space, and also help you to build that executive presence that is so key to helping you close deals, helping you really inspire confidence in your team and in, you know, people who are going, sponsors and so on, who are going to be looking to hand select that next powerhouse leader inside their organization. So it's called the Leadership Lab. We have a couple of spots left for our new cohort, which is starting in early May. So head on over to leadershiplabforwomen.com, and that's where you'll get the details. If it's a good fit, apply. We'd love to have you. All right, let's talk about Rachel Drury. She's the founder of Daily Harvest, which is a subscription-based service that delivers superfood-rich, clean food that is ready in just seconds to your freezer. So here's the deal. What would you say if Serena Williams, the greatest of all time, wanted to invest in your company? Well, that's what happened to Rachel. She's a seasoned marketing executive. She worked inside Four Seasons, American Express, the Gilt Group. And she realized, you know, as she was building her career and always on the go, she realized that it was actually difficult to find time to shop, chop, prep, and create nutrients-dense and delicious food for her and her kids. Never one to compromise on nutrition for herself and her family, she set out to create Daily Harvest, which is the genius life hack for the uncompromising consumer. The brand's mission is to provide convenient foods without nutritional compromise by turning the convenience of frozen food into healthy, whole, unrefined offerings. A little over a year since the company went national in 2016, the startup has managed to surpass over 1 million smoothie sales. That's a lot of smoothies, okay? Over 1 million smoothie sales. And she's attracted high-profile investors like Gwyneth Paltrow, Serena Williams, hashtag greatest of all time, Olympic gold medal winning snowboarder Shaun White, and celebrity chef Bobby Flay. I cannot wait to get into the details of this interview with you. Without further ado, here is Rachel Drury. Rachel Drury, welcome to Fierce Feminine Leadership.
Thanks for having me.
So really excited to talk to you about yourself, your business, the growth. I have given our listeners a sense of your company in the intro, but I would like to hear it from you. What is Daily Harvest and how did you get into this business?
Yeah, so Daily Harvest is what I like to think of as the solve to a modern eating dilemma. We all are guilty of kind of compromising on the way that we aspire to eat because we're busy, right? We're multitasking at a rate that's more than ever before. We've got so much responsibility, so many things that come up in our day. And what happens is we often sacrifice our health and wellness. And this was something that was happening to me. I was working hard. It would be 3 o'clock. I hadn't had lunch yet. I was starving and I would grab the closest item. I didn't care what it was. I was just starving and hangry at that point. So Daily Harvest is what I like to see as the solve to that problem. And we used frozen to solve that problem.
So tell me more.
Yeah. So we make ready, one-step prep, ready to blend smoothies, ready to heat soups, overnight oats, chia parfaits, nice cream sundaes, harvest bowls, which are like these wonderful grain-free grain bowls. What we do is we basically make all of the food that you see on Instagram and that you're like, great, if I had 3 extra hours in my day, I would love to eat like this. Or if I had somebody else cooking for me, like that would be awesome. But that's just not the reality for most people. So we make all of those things really accessible and ready in your freezer.
Got it. Okay. So I'm going to dive into, the growth trajectory of the business for a moment, but I'd love to backtrack a little bit. Tell us, when you look back on your upbringing, on your childhood, do you see the roots of the entrepreneur that you would become? Like, just take us back, because I always find it fascinating where this entrepreneurial, fire started and if there were clues about that, especially in your growing up years.
For sure. So, the first thing to note is that I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So it's kind of how I was brought up. If there was ever something that I wanted and, I couldn't have, my mom would be like, well, we'll make it. don't look at me, you figure it out. And just hearing my parents, both of them, what were then known as small businesses now would have been called startups, leaders in at the time, hearing them talk through their day-to-day, challenges and hearing them talk to each other through the dinner conversation, about that growth has always been such the seed of the passion for me. I've always been one of those people that wants to solve problems and, kind of looked at things differently. Like if you had to like look at those personality types, I'd say my entire life I've probably been like the classic outlaw. kind of ignoring what other people say and doing what I want anyway.
I love that. So you grow up in this entrepreneurial environment. You're encouraged by your parents to, if there's a problem, go create the solution, which I love. And then tell us what happened. Sort of take us through your career path in your early adulthood up to the point where you founded Daily Harvest.
Yeah. So, I'm going to start a little further back, but I was actually an athlete growing up. And I think that some of that kind of prepared me for the rigors and the mental fortitude that it takes to be an entrepreneur. And then
what kind of athlete? I'm fascinated by sports. Love sports. Former athlete. What did you do? And what specifically was it about that sport that helped you be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I was a rower actually. And if you know anything about rowing and crew, it's kind of synonymous with being a masochist.
Yeah, like you can't even stand when you get off that boat.
Yeah. So, you know, I'd say that masochism, like, you know, continues in my life now. But, you know, just sort of, you know, but just having that like mental fortitude that like, all right, you know, things are tough, but you know, just stay focused and you can get through it is something that I definitely practiced a lot while rowing.
You know, it's interesting. I have a personal trainer and she used to be the assistant director of strength training at Harvard. She trained a lot of NFL players, UFC fighters and so on. And I said, Shauna, when you think back, you know, on all the athletes, come on, who are the toughest? And she said the rowers, because it's like, you know, it's both that it's just exhausting. And when they finish a race, often they're just, their muscles are completely spent. So I totally get it that you know, it's that kind of training in grit. When you think about your entrepreneurial journey, and I know we're skipping ahead here, but it's just fascinating. When you think about your entrepreneurial journey, has there been a moment where, you know, where it was like when you finished a race and you were just like, I can't believe I made it through that. Like where the grit that you learned as a rower really came to the fore.
I mean, I have those moments all the time. but, you know, I'd say, and this is kind of a more holistic, you know, answer than you might be looking for. But I would say, you know, one of those things is starting a business and having two kids in the process. Mm. It's one of those things that I look back and I'm like, I mean, not that I'm so far away from it. I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. But you know, I look at that and I'm like, whoa, like I raised my series A, you know, as I was basically giving birth right after, like days after I gave birth to my second child, you know, I kind of started the business while I was pregnant with my first and just kind of looking back at all of the different directions I was pulled in. And, you know, I knew I wanted both and I just put my head down and focused and said, you know what, I'm going to do this. I can do this. I'm made to do this and I'm just going to do it and kind of look back and not from the other side of it and then think about how hard it was. Mm. And, you know, it's definitely one of those things that, I know it's weird to say, but I think being an athlete and, you know, building that mental muscle really helped me with.
Mm. All right. So take us back then through that career path. So you were a rower, you know, that kind of set the stage for creating that grit. And then take us kind of back through what happened after that.
Yeah. So I went to college in Philadelphia. And after that, decided I wanted to work for a brand. I wanted to work for a brand that I believed in and I wanted to learn marketing and branding. And I reached out to an alumni from Penn who had worked at Four Seasons Hotels. I said, you know what? What are the coolest brands that I can think of? What are the most exciting customer-centric brands? And Four Seasons, I think, you know, very few people would disagree, is one of them. And I convinced her to give me a job. And I worked there for a few years. And I'd say, you know, that experience has definitely informed my anchoring of marketing and brand building in customer centricity. And you know, I always like to put a hospitality lens on everything that I do. Then I went to business school. I went to business school in New York and focused on entrepreneurship and marketing. After that, went over to Amex. I actually graduated business school in 2009. It's kind of an interesting year to be graduating business school.
Exactly.
But you know, landed a great job at American Express. And, you know, knowing that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, ultimately, you know, I was trying to think about what do I need for myself to feel like I have for the foundation to be able to do that. And, you know, taking my experience of Four Seasons, business school, like knowing where I wanted to go. Ultimately, I decided Amex was a great place to go because there's something so important with learning, you know, consensus building and steering a really big ship and learning to navigate bureaucracy, you know, that I knew was going to be really important. So, you know, I went there, it was great. I was there for a few years and then went over to Gilt to do something finally more entrepreneurial. So I joined the team at Jetsetter and had, you know, 12 different roles there. But that's really where I got to kind of, you know, get my feet wet in the world of entrepreneurship and kind of making the unthinkable happen, or maybe unthinkable is not the right word, but making things happen. So, you know, I'd say that was kind of the launching pad for me. And there's so many wonderful entrepreneurs that have actually come from Gilt. And you know, they fostered an environment of, you know, like learning on the job and, you know, kind of going after the things that you believe in. So it was pretty great.
I love this idea that you share of, you know, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I went out into the corporate world. I focused on working for brands that I loved. And I was very strategic about making sure when I was working inside these organizations where there are established systems and processes that I was learning what I needed to learn to ultimately apply to running my own business. You know, I think about the accidental entrepreneurs who, like myself, you know, who, you know, where that kind of intentional knowledge acquisition would have been so useful. You know, when you look back on your career at Gilt, at Amex, at Four Seasons, what would you say are like the biggest lessons that you got from those environments that have helped you steer Daily Harvest so successfully?
Yeah, so I would definitely say, you know, Four Seasons, I covered it a little bit, but you know, the importance of brand, the importance of hospitality and customer centricity absolutely came from that experience. Mm-hmm. And I would say that a lot of that was mirrored at American Express. I mean, American Express is a service first and foremost, and you know, they do believe in customer centricity. They're huge. So the way that they do that is a little bit different, but you know, just kind of understanding what that looks like at scale, I think was really helpful for me. But also, you know, just as far as consensus building and, you know, bureaucracy, as I mentioned, you know, those are some of the dynamics that, that even in a small environment definitely exist. And, you know, there are also things that you can look at and you can say, okay, well, you know, this is one of the challenges with a big company. How do we think about this differently? How do we like, you know, take these speed bumps and get rid of them so we can move faster? So, you know, I'd say it took some of the pros, some of the cons, and definitely kind of put them in my tool belt for later. And then at Gilt, you know, that's really where I cut my teeth on just this like, here's a problem, go solve it. And you know, being able to do that in a supportive environment where, you know, it was okay to fail, I think was huge. And it's definitely informed how I built the culture at Daily Harvest, but it also gave me the confidence to know that I could build something.
So as you mentioned, your business is roughly the same age as your oldest child, yeah. You know, which is 3 at the time, yeah. At this time that we're recording. So I would love for you to take us through kind of that, the startup, you know, what are some of the key milestones, you know, as you think about your company's journey thus far, maybe kind of take us through the highlights. And then I want to get into where the growth is coming from.
Yeah, so I would say one of the most exciting milestones for me was, you know, raising outside capital. I bootstrapped the business for about 8 months and, you know, realized that I was choking off growth and, you know, I had to raise money. So, so I did it. And, you know, getting those first investors in was just a really big moment for me because, you know, it's one thing to know, to have something that's working and to believe it yourself, but to have others, you know, not only believe in what you're doing, but also put their money behind it, was exciting. And, you know, also as a single founder to have, finally a board, was an exciting moment for me because I had people who I could start, you know, bouncing ideas off of and, you know, really, strategic partners in growing the business. And, you know, I'd say the next phase for me. So, you know, as I'm thinking back on it, it really does tie to our rounds of funding, but that isn't by accident. And I think that's an interesting story. If you let me kind of meander for a bit,
please do.
But, you know, one of the things that I did is I kind of charted my fundraising goals and path before they happened. So what I did is I sat down and I said, okay, if I want to raise a really successful Series A, if I want to raise a really successful Series B, this is what that looks like to me. And these are the numbers. These are the metrics that I think I'll need to prove to be able to have my choice in who I work with. Cause that's ultimately what I wanted. I didn't want to have, investors that I felt like I had to have. I wanted investors and a board that I was really excited to work with and felt like they were really strategic partners. So, you know, kind of having that vision of, what numbers I would need to achieve at what point to be able to raise money, I think, is why the big milestones coincide with fundraising. So I'd say that first round of funding, for sure. Second round of funding, in conjunction with having my second child, one of the cool things there was, we went from a team of like 4 to a team of about 12. And I know that doesn't sound like a big jump, but it really was for us. It was, instead of picking and choosing different things that we wanted to go after and always having to rationalize decision making, we were able to do more and we were able to do it faster and we were able to scale. And, that was really exciting to be able to take the money that we were raising and, really invest in people and allow the business to flourish that way. And then for me, the Series B is probably the most recent big moment for us. And, I built the business to kind of be informed a little bit about, from my past career. I think one of the wonderful things that Gilt did for the entrepreneurs that came out of there is, not to their own fault, but, being in this world of e-commerce 1.0, where, the idea was like spend a lot of money, build it really fast and just like plow ahead. Mm-hmm. I think that the next generation of entrepreneurs learned a lot from that. And what came out of it is a bit more scrappiness, a bit more, strategy going into how you scale and when you scale and all those things. So, we had been extremely scrappy and extremely resourceful up until our Series B, and the reason we raised the amount that we raised,
which was $43 million,
yes,
correct?
$43 million.
Nice job, Rachel.
Thank you. the largest round by a female, largest Series B by a female last year.
Amazing.
So I'm really proud of that. But the reason we did it is because we were so lean before that we knew that as soon as we were ready to really take those training wheels off and have proved out all the things that we wanted to prove, that it was then time to go off to the races. So, we've tripled our team, we're still hiring, and it's now off to the races. And that's kind of how I look at the milestones in the business.
Got it. And so, and for founders who are listening, this idea of, you've got this, so it sounds like you had the big vision of what this could be. And then as far as kind of creating those milestones, it's like, look, in order to reach this, this is the amount of money that I want to raise and to have my choice of the right partner. So I don't have to take money from just anyone, but it's from the people who are going to help me, who are going to be true partners. These are the metrics I have to show. And then it's kind of reverse engineered. You're kind of backing out execution from that, which, makes a ton of sense because so much of leadership, is about how do you navigate through complexity. So that feels like a really smart system. Obviously, it worked for you. I wanted to pick up on something that you said. Look, before we went into our second round of funding, which was the biggest raise, second round raise by a female entrepreneur last year, which is a huge achievement. You talked about being lean, scrappy, and so on. Can you give us an example of what that looked like? Like from a practical perspective, what did that scrappiness look like? How did it show up?
Yeah, so I'd say it showed up in the team mostly. So one of the things that, if you look at what our team was made up of at that point in our life cycle, and you look at what our team is made up of now, at that point in our life cycle, we were made up of, more jack of all trades type people who, could solve multiple problems at once. And, were very entrepreneurial in their own right. you know, being able to answer customer service, being able to manage our operations, having some social media skills on the side, you know, not being afraid to drop everything to, you know, I don't know, pick a problem, you know, yeah. just get your hands dirty and really, you know, make moves with the challenges that come up every day in a startup. You know, and then as you grow, you still want those entrepreneurial people who are really, you know, values driven, but how it changes is that you move to more specialists. So you move to people who, you know, have specific skills that, that they're going to bring to the table to be able to make advancements in any given area.
Mm, got it. Now, one of the things that really stands out, you know, about the business also is the celebrity endorsement factor. So, you know, Daily Harvest has received endorsements from the likes of Serena Williams, greatest of all time, Gwyneth Paltrow, Shaun White, the Olympic, I feel like, you know, 10-time gold medalist, although it's not that many, right? It's not that many. Chef Bobby Flay. Yep. Tell us about, you know, what impact have these endorsements had and how did you go about getting them?
Yeah. So what's really unique about them is they're actually not endorsements. They are all investors in Daily Harvest and it's kind of, that simple. So, you know, each of these people, kind of came to us in a different way and we have a different journey with them and a different relationship, but, you know, what they all have in common is that they all loved Daily Harvest. They all loved what we were trying to do. They understood it. They understood the value. And, you know, they were consumers or, you know, continue to be consumers. So, you know, some people I was introduced to through mutual acquaintances. Some people I was introduced to, you know, by them picking up the phone or emailing me cold, you know, so depend some of that, one of them I was introduced to through an editor. So, you know, it really just depends, but, you know, I'd say there was definitely a mutual desire to meet and to find a way to work together with each and every one of them.
Mm, and of course, as you say, I mean, in some ways, the fact that they're investors is the ultimate endorsement.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's way better than you know than the kind of endorsement that you normally see. So it makes a ton of sense. But what's coming through for me on this is, hey, the product you've got to make the product rave worthy.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah,
if the product's not good, then you know the rest of it doesn't matter.
And how have you
the product and the customer experience?
Yeah, and I'm totally, and I'm curious about that because as the company grows and scales as it is, you know, as a leader, what, you know, from your perspective, how do you stay focused both on the product and customer experience and then everything else, you know, that,
yes.
that's involved?
So I'm going to go again to team. Mm-hmm. You know, I have such a wonderful team and, you know, I've really hired people who are like-minded, values-driven, who, you know, I know understand what we're trying to achieve. I know understand our customer, understand what our customer needs. And, you know, because of that, I'm able to kind of let them go and, you know, flourish and create. And, you know, if they need a thought partner, like I'm absolutely there for them always. But, you know, where we are in the business now is that we have a lot of really talented people and teams that just kind of go and execute and strategize.
Mm. So, to get back again to the growth, and the speed of growth and the speed of scale, what would you say are the top drivers that have driven the quick growth of the company outside, you know, that ability to secure funding?
Yeah. So, I would say, you know, just channel wise, just be really tactical. Instagram has been huge for us. And the reason why is because you eat with your eyes first. So, you know, food has to look appealing before you're going to smell it, before you're going to taste it. And that's why Instagram is such a wonderful channel for us because it's the ultimate visual channel. And we've found a way to present ourselves in a way that's differentiated. So we stand out on the feed. And, you know, we really resonate with what people expect to, you know, what people are looking for in their lives. So, you know, the stuff that they're seeing from the blogger that they follow, we're like, hey, that's great, but we're going to make it really accessible to you now.
Got it. So Instagram, what else?
Yeah. I would say, you know, we've been really lucky with, just word of mouth. So, you know, referral and word of mouth and, you know, all of the people that you've seen on Instagram and on different channels talking about Daily Harvest, that's been really organic. Mm-hmm. And we've just had a lot of, you know, virility or viralness or whatever. I know neither of them are really the right word. Everybody always struggles with that one because it's not like a real thing, but, you know, there's a definitely a viral factor to what we've created.
Got it. So I wanted to switch to, you know, success strategies for female founders. And, you know, they may or may not be different from success strategies for other founders, but primarily female founders who are listening to this show, what tips or advice would you offer to those women, particularly those who are looking to build a scalable, you know, fast growing company?
Yeah, so there are a few things. So one, just on the female side of things, I think that there are unique challenges that a female founder faces. There's a lot of alliteration.
Well done.
And I think that one of the things that we have to let go of is this idea of trying to have it all. Because if you want to be a founder and you want to have like the other components of life, it's putting way too much pressure on ourselves to be able to say there's any chance we're going to have to, that we can have it all. So I think just kind of like setting that off in out into the world and saying, okay, you know what? I understand that I'm going to have to make trade-offs and that, you know, this is not going to be easy and there's definitely going to be sacrifices, I think is one of the first things that you have to do.
And when you think about, that makes total sense. When you think about, you know, can you give us an example of something that you're like, you know what, pre Daily Harvest, I could totally do this, you know, post Daily Harvest, not so much. What's a trade-off that you made, that you chose, you know, in order to build this company?
I mean, for me, this is not healthy. This is not a good idea. This is not for everyone. you know, but for me, I have zero personal time, zero personal space. And the reason why is because every moment that I'm not spending on Daily Harvest, I spend with my kids. You know, and I come home and I'm so burnt from the day. And, you know, I can choose at that point, do I want to go to the gym? Do I want to, you know, read a book? What do I want to do for myself? Or I can take that energy that I have remaining and put it towards my kids. And I've just decided that, you know, the next few years, they're just not about me. And, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You know, I love that because it's the reality. And so, and there's this idea, you know, especially in the kind of culture of working moms and working women that, you know, no, you've got to take time for yourself as though we have more than 24 hours in a day. You know, so it's like, if you want, it makes total sense. If you're going to build a company like this, like a substantial company, that takes time and your kids are young and that's the choice that you're making. I so appreciate that and can totally relate to that.
And to be honest, it makes me a better mom.
Yeah.
Like I know that if I can feel fulfilled in my career, for me personally, it makes me a better mom. And that's just a decision that I've made.
Yeah. And there's time for the gym later.
Exactly.
Always later. Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
What else? Any other tips or advice that you would offer to the female founders who are listening?
Yeah, I think one of the really important things that we can forget is that females are the ones who make most of the purchasing decisions in the U.S. And this is you know more true for consumer than anything else. But I think when we're looking to raise money and when we're thinking for somebody else to prove that our business is worthwhile of funding, it's easy to forget that. To forget that, you know, if you are a female, if you are of the core demographic that you are going after, you know better than anybody what's going to resonate. So, you know, if you're going to raise money from somebody who's not going to understand that audience and the psychology behind that and what's important to you and the people that you're solving problems for, you know, then I think you have to really, you know, kind of use that mental fortitude and just push on because, you know, I think it can be really demoralizing to hear that. And, you know, and for some people, they'll take that as like, oh, my idea is not good enough, or, oh, you know, I shouldn't continue. You know, I'm not going to be able to get funding. You will. It's just about finding the right investors who really understand the need that you're trying to solve.
So it's like own what you know. And be confident that there's an audience for it if you think, yeah, it makes total sense. Listen, I so appreciate the time that you've taken with us. I know you've got a ton on the go today. I would love for you just to share briefly what's up next with Daily Harvest. What's coming down the pipes? What can we expect and look forward to?
Yeah, so we've got some really exciting things happening in the next few months. Summer's obviously coming, and you know, when better is there to have to indulge in frozen than in summer? So you know, we've got a lot of exciting collections coming out, and really yummy, tasty things that we're super excited about.
Awesome! Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Fierce Feminine Leadership is executive produced and hosted by Eleanor Beaton. Technical producer is Kate Ostrakhan. Content producers are Adrian Alexander and Marie Hannafin. Special thanks to Kelly Filman and Amy Blesser. Find Eleanor on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram at Eleanor Beaton. Thank you for listening. Stay fierce.